I've noticed that agency has historically been taken away from children, especially in high school, and they feel like they don't have the autonomy to choose what's best for them or to learn, to fail forward. So when they get to college, they don't have those guardrails, and so they haven't had the scaffold into adulthood.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to today's episode of Learning Unboxed. As always, I am super excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today we're actually going to be traveling all the way to Indiana. And we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, which are STEM schools as positive disruptors and how we think about the concept of what is school and why does it matter. And joining us today is Dr. Kiana Warren, CEO of Purdue Polytechnic High School. So Kiana, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we are really excited to have the conversation with you, but let's set a little bit of context for our listeners who come to us from all over the world. And so those who may not be familiar, Purdue Polytechnic High School inspires students to pursue their passions through the lens of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, hands-on and project-based learning, community partnerships, and a student-centered personalized learning environment. So I think we could all hear the applause virtually, because that is what we should all be doing. So we love that. You know, and one of the other great things is that at PPHS, students solve real-world challenges to succeed in future careers. They are committed to increasing college acceptance rates of Black, Brown, and low-income students directly, if ideally, to Purdue University and other colleges and universities around the country. They are tuition-free and all of those great things that we want to hear more about. So, Kiana, let's start with, other than the sort of why it exists, let's talk about sort of the when and why that moment, if you don't mind, sort of expand that context.
So we opened our doors in 2017 with the theory that the current results that are happening for students across this country, and specifically for some historically marginalized students, was unacceptable. And so we understood that if we wanted to get different results, we have to do something different. So this school was intentionally in partnership with several organizations. And what really sets us apart is our unique partnership with Purdue University. The then president of Purdue University, Mitch Daniels, who was such an incredible leader for 10 years at Purdue University. But prior to that, he was the governor of the state of Indiana, so he had a really holistic view of Indiana. And one of the things he noticed that Purdue University, and I will name my bias because I am a graduate of Purdue University, but I do think it's one of the top universities. I had a wonderful student experience there, and it prepared me for the future of work and the goals that I had for myself. But what President Daniels noticed was that the school lacked a lot of racial diversity, and he understood that Purdue is a land-grant university and has an obligation to the state to represent the entire state and the beautiful diversity that exists in our states. So what I loved about what Mitch and the team did, instead of just pointing fingers and saying, K-12, do better, we got in there and decided to found Purdue Polytechnic High Schools with the unapologetic mission of creating an environment that is truly learner-centered, that leads to success in whatever freedom dreams or post-secondary endeavors our students desire for themselves.
I just love everything about that. And, you know, I can also echo that, you know, Purdue, it is an amazing institution and it deserves the great diversity of the state and the thinkers and the future problem solvers to come and be part of that entire ecosystem and the experience that will then lead them to amazing things later in life from having a great post-secondary experience. I am really curious about the partnerships? Because we've talked with a lot of new like startup educational endeavors on this program. And for, you know, our listeners who know me well, I've been involved in the starting of several really amazing schools, some STEM schools and others. And it's really, really difficult. But one of the things that I have seen across almost 30 years of being in the middle of this type of transformative, innovative education work is that partnerships are key, right? You have to have great intentions, you know, not setting that aside, but ultimately the sustainability of these great ideas, it comes down to those public-private partnerships that are super, super meaningful. So since you have been involved and have so much of the historical knowledge of the founding of all of this, help us understand the partners that came to the table initially, and then who's still part of the endeavor, because partners do come and go, and there's nothing wrong with that. From a sustainability standpoint, how do you think about the partnerships that are in play and are super meaningful to the work that happens? And then we'll dig into sort of some of the nuts and bolts of the school experience itself.
So the three partners, key partners that came to the table originally, of course, are Purdue University, which I will call our main sponsor, and that partnership continues to this day and it's stronger than ever. And then we have the Indianapolis Public School District, and I think that's such a key partnership because I think it's so important for different school governance types to come together and work together because our mission is to serve all 30,000 students who are in the Central Township District in which our founding schools are. And then that third partnership was the City of Indianapolis. So I think it's so important to have that support of your legislative officials really supporting the organization. And Indiana has a really incredible, innovative sector within the city that I'm super proud of that allows for us to think outside of the box and create partnerships. So those are those key founding partners who are like, let's come together and solve this problem collectively. In addition, we have some major industry partners that came together and said to us, we want the workforce to look differently. And one of the things that we heard consistently was we get several students who can bubble answers on a test, especially in that era of No Child Left Behind, which had the right intents of making sure there was academic rigor across the board. But they were sharing with us. In our founding time, we went to industry partners and asked, what are you looking for? And they said, we want students who can collaborate, communicate, and innovate. And they said, we get students who can answer bubbled questions, but that's not how the real world works. That's not how application happens in industry. And so we're really proud. We have the United Way. We have Eli Lilly. We have Corteva, Salesforce, and so many major engineering, manufacturing, logistics, some of the major industries that really affect Indiana. We have healthcare, and all of those partners are still on board and so incredibly important to the sustainability. And one of the things we've learned about partnership is first, you have to have someone in the organization who is your connector and your liaison, who can get feedback and set expectations. But one of the key things we learned from our industry partners is they love the work that we do. And they say it's sometimes hard to work with schools because they put up these walls. So we say we're a school without walls. And I tell people that doesn't mean we don't have walls because we're in Indiana and the weather's so unpredictable. You absolutely need walls and windows and everything to keep the elements out. But what that means for us is we allow industry partners to come in and we allow our students to go out and see authentic work. So they might, instead of just being in chemistry class learning from a textbook, our students literally will be on Eli Lilly's campus learning from a world-renowned chemist. So those authentic learning experiences are so critically important. Those industry partnerships are not just an add-on, but it's part of the curriculum. And you're really going to remember a chemistry assignment that you're doing if you're literally working with a lab and you can make that connection to what your life could be like in the future. And so those partnerships have actually sustained over time. They've gotten deeper. But what has actually happened is we have broadened our opportunity. So originally we started out really with a laser focus on healthcare and engineering. And now we've increased that to include urban agriculture, which is a newfound passion of mine and just so incredibly interesting. And it's really important because it doesn't have a vast majority of students of color who are entering agriculture. And so we've been able to increase that pathway for students, which is really, really exciting. So that's something I'm really proud of. So partnerships are key. And one of the biggest things is we try really, really hard to be good partners. And that's so important.
Yeah. It's difficult, right? Because oftentimes, especially with those industry partners, you know, you mentioned it earlier, sometimes it's like, you know, schools do put up walls or they want industry to come in and just be show and tell, right? But to not really understand that, you know, if you can truly, truly embrace industry as a real partner, that incredible things can happen both inside the industry and inside the school because those barriers get knocked down. So I really applaud the time, energy, and effort that it's taken to ensure that those are really, really robust, because I agree with you. The idea of learning anything anymore just out of a textbook and we're not really applying it to anything that seems relevant to me as a kiddo or to my future or even the aspirations that I didn't even know that I had, it's so boring. It's so disengaged. And it's not genuine, right? It's not genuine for all of the participants. So I appreciate that. Help our listeners just understand, just for the sake of clarity, how does this work specifically with the Indianapolis school districts? Because oftentimes when these innovative sort of things come along like this, sometimes if they're not fully of the district, right, then they're seen as competition. And then sometimes when they are of the district, then it becomes this whole sort of quandary about, well, who in the community or in the district gets access to that and how and who's left out. So there are three schools, as I understand it right now, within the network of your schools. And are they of the district or are they alongside the district? Just help our listeners sort of understand that piece, because lots of communities wrestle with this.
So one of the key important factors to a really strong district partnership and innovation schools is remembering to center the students, and it's about what's best for them above what's individually best for different aspects of the ecosystem. And so one of the keys to our partnership is some of the really innovative and effective legislation that we have in Indiana. Here specifically, I'm talking to our innovation school legislation, which allows for innovation schools to be part of a district, but have a different governance structure. So it's really, we're under the umbrella of the Indianapolis Public School District. So we are a part of their schools, but we're also an independently run charter school. So it's a really good in between. And I think what helps with equity of access, because to be really transparent with you, we run the risk, because we're associated with Purdue University, which is such a prestigious university, of our school being flooded with an enrollment only of students who are affluent and would probably otherwise have access to Purdue University. So we are diverse by design. So our partnership with Purdue, with the Indianapolis Public School District, allows for us to give preference to the students who and families and zip codes who need that support the most, which I'm really excited about. And we know that's working really well because our schools continue to be diverse in all aspects. So that's racially, socioeconomic status, geographically. It's wonderful. All three of our schools are part of a school district. So two of the schools are part of the Indianapolis Public School District, and then one is part of the South Bend School District. And those partnerships are going so well. Another piece to the puzzle specifically in Indianapolis is Enroll Indy, which is our unified enrollment system, which allows all families to go through the same system. So my school can't have a different system than the Indianapolis Public School high schools. And families are given access to information about all the schools, this incredible website that says, if you're looking for a STEM school, if you're looking for a performing arts school, it just gives all these options to access and equity. I'm proud to be the board chair for this organization. And this organization, Enroll Indy, includes representation on the board from Indianapolis Public School District's various charter authorizers. I proudly represent the charter sector. And then we have folks from the public who are involved. So that really helps with access to equity. And so I have nothing to do with my enrollment process in the sense of it's done by a third party, which I think has really improved access to high quality programming for students. And I think in a very healthy way, we have to make sure we are offering a really good product. And I don't want to say education is simply a product, but we really have to show parents through our results that we're a good option. Otherwise, they will choose something that's better. And I think that's a good thing for parents.
It is a great thing. And I'm really glad to hear you talk about this, right? Because, and that is definitely one of the things that we've seen come up more and more, obviously, you know, post-COVID. You know, parents got a real deep dive into what was going on in schools. Positive, negative, everything in between, right? Because we saw the full gamut. And I think that a lot of folks came out of the flip side of that, wanting something different or wanting more choice or just wanting to feel like they had some control over sort of what choices were made. And so I appreciate so much that thinking around saying, you know, there are lots of choices and one size does not fit all, and we can equitably serve students if we're really meaningful and deliberate about it.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School: 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hackingschool.
I have a quick question. Is there a sibling policy? This came up in another conversation, and it's a fabulous thing most places. Sometimes it can actually, over time, be detrimental to the diversity of a school or a district if you don't really step back and think about how it actually works. So I'm curious, because that's just ticking in my brain as I'm hearing you talking, what's the sibling policy look like, and how often is it revisited to ensure that diversity remains?
We do have a preference for siblings, which is really helpful to families. Just, I know from personal experience, having one drop off tends to be easier. But we consistently and yearly and really quarterly monitor these things to make sure it doesn't lead to inequities. So because our school has always been racially diverse, socioeconomically diverse, all of the diversity that represents our city and our state well, the sibling preference has not caused an issue and actually really supports what we're trying to do. If our school had begun with not being racially diverse or just favoring one population or over the other, sibling preference would be an issue, but thus far it hasn't been. But we really do study that and we look at it, and we will change our policies if and when it becomes an issue. And I'm grateful that we can work with the Indianapolis Public School District and the mayor's office to figure out when and how to do those things. But that's something we monitor and something we have seen in our city historically. If a school starts out wanting to increase their equity to access, but they've been the same way for 20 plus years, a sibling preference makes that harder. And so does the zip code preference. But it's something we just have to monitor and something we're super aware of.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. And I definitely appreciate that it's one of those things that you're actively thinking about. Because, like I said, it's a fabulous thing. And I agree, the single drop off. But I've also seen it, because it wasn't being carefully monitored and folks not understanding how suddenly that balance got out of balance that was your original intent. And it can be really, really difficult to swing back the other way if you're not careful about it. So I appreciate your insights on that. So let's talk a little bit about the student experience. So these are high schools. So these are 9-12s. And so talk to us about what a typical student's journey through the 4-year experience might look like.
This is probably my favorite thing to talk about, because at Purdue Polytechnic High Schools, we really believe in voice and choice and agency. And why that's really important is I've noticed that agency has historically been taken away from children, especially in high school, and they feel like they don't have the autonomy to choose what's best for them or to learn, to fail forward. There's too many guardrails in place. And so when they get to college, they don't have those guardrails. And so they haven't had the scaffold into adulthood. So we're very intentional.
And they can fail and fail often, right? We know the stats, right? Yes. So I thank you for this. I love it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, but I definitely want those students to fail when they're with us, with people who care deeply and can help them get on the right path. And we normalize it. Things that we hear often from students and families is they feel empowered to lead their own learning. And we really emphasize engagement and productive struggle. And I always tell folks this: you can be engaged in a video game and it's not leading to any academic rigor, but you can also be engaged in something that you're really interested in that is tough learning. And when I say tough, I really mean it in the best, brightest way, where we want people to be forced to critically think. We want the students to carry the cognitive load. That's not what the teacher does. Teachers in our school are coaches because they are facilitators of the education. They're not the holder of all knowledge. And we have a culture of really focusing on building the sense of belonging. So we want every student to show up regardless of background and feel that they have their place and their people. And it's a place they can thrive. When students have that physical safety, which is very important, and that psychological safety, they can thrive much better. You can't learn in chaos. But we really empower the students and we give them several opportunities. So students can have internships from the day they walk into the building. Students have experiences where they can take college credits, specifically with Purdue University, specifically with other partners that we have, so that they're really prepared for that, those academics. We are project-based learning. It's really important with project-based learning to have a good marriage between the theoretical and the application, because you can't apply if you don't understand the theory.
Exactly.
But you'll remember the theory better if you can apply it. So we're very intentional about it. And one of the things that really makes our school unique is the flexibility of our schedule. So right now in our school, students know what their academic pathway is because they know what courses they need in order to graduate and things like that. But their learning experience and their projects are very much so based on their interests. And so there's a lot of flexibility within the day of the schedule. And the students have a lot more choice than they would in a traditional school on what they learn. And we believe that's really, really important in engaging students, helping them find their path. And there's a lot of exposure. If you talk to our students, one of the consistent things you'll hear is, I love my coaches. I love my school. I love my colleagues. And I love that the school cares about what I believe and how I feel. And I will tell you, when you open a school and you allow for free voice and choice, it's a beautiful thing. But it's also tough in the sense of our students are so empowered, and the gift, because clarity is a gift. They will tell us when we're doing well and they will tell us where we're falling short, and it allows us to change things. But on the other end, if a student comes to me and says, I don't like something, I say, what are you going to do about it? Or what's your proposal? And so now our students, I don't even have to ask them now if they're like, if they are dissatisfied with something in the school, which is totally fine, and we want them to be able to respectfully advocate, they will come to me with like a 3 to 5 page proposal about how we'll change things. And that is such a beautiful thing. One example I love to tell is structurally, there was a wall in some of our classrooms that just didn't make sense. And then, you know, when we built and designed the school, it seemed fun, but the students were explaining, and it was like a half wall in a classroom. And the idea was that the classroom could be made into two different spaces and for collaborative learning. But ultimately, the students were like, we actually can't collaborate this way. So they gave a proposal that we should tear down the walls in the school. And they made it into a really academic project where they talked about like what it would take to do it, how much it might cost, and all of those things. And we were able to tear down that wall. And so those students who just graduated this year. So they did it. That was a few years ago, but that's one of their legacies at PPHS. They literally improved the quality of education through understanding that a physical wall needed to go.
Wow, that's pretty impressive, actually. Yeah. And I love that you are so open to the idea. And I really appreciate the sort of, okay, what are you going to do about it approach? You know, I've got numerous stories that I've heard and I've encountered, but also that I've experienced myself, some similar ideas, right? I have shared previously, but I had a group of kids who showed up in my office one day and they're like, Dr. Corbin, you know, we need $34.52. And I said, okay. What do you need $34.52 for? And I said, well, you know, we really want to not just have a drone, but we have been looking at all these drones that other schools are using or that are available. And you know what? We could build a better drone than any of those. And we can get all the parts at Home Depot. And here's our parts list. And we need $34.24. And I was like, well, A, that's awesome. But B, okay. I need a business plan. I need a use case for this. Come back when you have that. Knowing full well, I had full intention of giving them the $34.24, right? You know, a few days go by. I'm actually traveling at that point internationally, and suddenly my phone is blowing up, and I'm in another country. And I pull out my phone and I look, and it's my kiddos, right? And so they had written an entire business plan and a case study and a use case, how other schools were going to be able to use it. was pretty easy, right? You know, but I love your point, because it's like, that was the most amazing thing ever. And I can guarantee you those kids got so much out of it. And then, you know, they start taking drone footage and they're sharing things. And now they're making videos about their school and all the stuff that's going on and what's happening, because they had the drone and they were using that tool that they built themselves. It was pretty darn awesome.
That is, I love that.
Yeah, exactly, right? Those are the kinds of things that we want to see. And that learning is timeless.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And those kids were engaged and they were, yes, heck bent on, we're going to do this thing and we're going to do it really, really well. Right. And the initiative and the drive and the connecting of things and the business plan made them think about the finances of it. Right. What's the long-term ROI? Things that, you know, maybe they'd been exposed to, but most likely that they hadn't. And now they have a sense of that. That's pretty cool. So I really love that. Talk to me a little bit as we get towards wrapping up here about those educators, those coaches, because that's another thing that in my work, and I've seen it, is so incredibly important, is to really shift from being a teacher to being a mentor, to being a guide, to being a facilitator, to being that adult that you have a meaningful relationship with and not something that's just, you know, sort of pass by in the hall, and it's not punitive and it's not based on structures that say, you know, because I have more knowledge than you, that I am superior to you. There's just so many elements of this, right? And this is part of that really big, I think, dynamic transformation that has to happen. So A, how do you ensure that that continues? Because the other thing that I've seen is when adults get stressed in educational environments, we revert back to what we know. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's human nature. But what we know and how we were trained, most of us, right, to be educators in a school is not what you and I are talking about. So how do you keep that slide from happening?
So I want to first by saying that our PPHS teachers are some of the best in the business, are incredible, care deeply about students. And so one of the things that we really do intentionally is during our hiring process, we really center it on our core values. And one of our core values is that we nurture student genius. And part of nurturing student genius is understanding that within each student is individual genius. It's a very asset-based approach to education. And then the opposite of nurturing student genius would be the soft bigotry of low expectations. And so, yes, we want students to feel that strong sense of belonging, but we also want to make sure that they are given that academic rigor that prepares them for Purdue University. And we understand, I understand that all students aren't going to go on to college, but I want all students to have the option.
Exactly.
And that pathway. So that's very, very, very important. And as far as relationship, it's really for teachers to understand. And it's a tough balance, because you are a mentor, you're not a friend. And so that can be really hard. Now, if you know me, you know I call all the students friends, but I don't literally mean we're friends, but I think it's just a warm greeting for folks. But I'm just understanding, having that clear support. And then as far as how do we continue in that vein, and I think one of the things that we do to rejuvenate the teachers is to give them autonomy, voice, and choice and support. So high autonomy, but I have really high expectations for the academic outcomes. Teachers get to choose what classroom supplies they have. They're given budgets that can actually pay for stuff. We have equipment that prepares students for the future of work. And teachers have a lot of say in the curriculum. They have a lot of opportunities for stipends within the classroom. And I think that's really important, because one of the messages that I want us to continue to send is, being an educator is such a beautiful profession. Being a teacher is wonderful. And the goal is not to become an administrator if that's not what you want for yourself. I want to really continue to show that being a teacher, being in that position, is very elevated and important. So we really try to center teachers. I think that's a missed opportunity in some districts that I see. So we really try to do a distributed leadership structure with a lot of autonomy. And again, just like with student autonomy, it can be really good, because our teachers give really good, honest feedback and we're able to improve. And that's so helpful. And I'm so grateful for that. How do we continue not to revert? I think one of the biggest things, and that's what I see as my job as the leader of PPHS, is to hold the vision. And our vision, and just staying clear to the idea, is we're getting kids ready for Purdue University who have historically been left out. And that also includes women. I didn't name that, but Purdue is also working to improve the gender diversity there, which is really important. And so it is my job to continue to hold fast to that. And it's easy to revert to old practices, but I just remind folks that doesn't work and we got to do something different and write and research based. And that's another thing. A lot of folks say your practices are really innovative. And yes, we do things differently. Yes, we don't do things in the traditional way. No, you will not see students sitting in rows and just constantly writing or things like that in a non-meaningful way. But the things we do differently are based on research. Project-based learning is research-based. STEM education is research-based. And one of the big things I talk about teachers too is like, one of the questions I love to ask folks is like, how do you feel about AI and bots? And I love to hear what teachers say about it, because if they enter the conversation saying, well, these are the things I do to make sure students don't cheat using it, you're not the right educator for PPHS. But when I hear people say it is a tool and we want to teach students how to use it because people in the workforce are, and we don't want them to be left behind, but we also want students who have integrity and students who know how to use tools and resources and give credit where credit's due and know how to collaborate, that's my teacher.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. I just like, that is the best, right? Because I agree with you. You know, every time I hear the conversations, and they're swirling all over in the world of education, to your point, right, about, you know, AI. And I'm like, well, time out, right? You know, this is no different than all the complaints lots of you had when the internet showed up. And you were like, oh my gosh, oh, we're going to cheat. It's going to be this thing. What do we need teachers for? The internet.
I remember that.
I mean, seriously, it is the exact same conversation. We're just using different technology. You know, and the reality is, as educators, we use and tap into the internet all the time, all day long.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And the same will be true for AI. So I really love that. But thank you for putting voice to that, because I do think that there's a lot of fear sometimes around the unknown. And yet, you know, we're preparing kids for jobs that we haven't even imagined. And in our lifetimes, we will not see, but they will. And in fact, they're going to be creating some of these things that you and I can't even imagine.
Absolutely.
So I always want to close these conversations, recognizing that people are, in fact, listening from all over the world and circumstances are different in different places. But, you know, let's imagine myself as that educator that's out there that has listened to all the incredible things that Kiana has been talking about and the work that's going on at Purdue Polytechnic High School and says, if only I could. One thing in my classroom to start making change locally. What would you tell that educator? Not necessarily to do, but what would your words of inspiration leading one of these endeavors be to that educator?
As educators, we have this unique opportunity of being the CEO of our classroom. But the first step I would always take, because personalized learning is so important, and that doesn't just mean you put them on computers, by the way, but really getting a path for each student. So the first step I would say is to start by talking to students using the design thinking process and empathy interviews to learn about their experience with K-12 education, what dreams they have for themselves and what hopes they have. And the answers will come easily about how to start to innovate, because I promise you the students have the answers. We just need to be quiet enough to listen. And then the second thing I would say, come work at PPHS, come move to Indiana. The cost of living is low.
I love that. Absolutely. Absolutely. And great advice, both points there. So thank you very much, Kiana. We really, really appreciate the fact that you took time out of your day. Really, really intrigued by the work that you're doing, and just appreciate you chatting with us. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This has been so much fun.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.